Hey, hey, Curiosity Builders, I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. What does it take for your imagination to become a reality? Through hard work, perseverance, temperance, pattern interruption, and unbelievably cool projects, today's guest has found a way to tell stories and bring images to life. Josh Rossi is a commercial and advertising photographer known for his projects turning kids with cancer and disabilities into superheroes. In this conversation, he dives deep into his childhood, sharing stories of how his mom taught him to rewire his thinking and his dad exhibiting how to stand apart from others. He talks about his early failures in business and how he learned to turn that into fuel for the future. If you have a passion project that you want to bring to life but are struggling to make it happen, this conversation with Josh will inspire you to get to work. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/461. Josh, welcome to Getting Work to Work. It's wonderful to talk with you today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I love asking this question of everyone I talk to because the answers are always so diverse. But what are you endlessly curious about?
I think I'm endlessly curious about the psychology of what makes people do things and what gets people to tick. You know, it's my mom was a hypnotherapist back in the day and studied NLP and like all this stuff. She actually had like a full building, a clinic where she'd help people stop smoking. And so it wasn't like stage hypnotism or anything, but she would always talk to us. I mean, it was really funny. Like for anybody that doesn't know NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, it's like now it's like a buzzword and everyone's all hot about it. But you know, back in the day, it was like this, you know, this is like 20 years ago, it was just kind of this newer thing. And she was killing it, like in her advertising and everything. Like, for example, this is just a simple example, but like everybody, when she was trying to advertise her clinic, you know, everybody else was like, come in today for this and that, you know. And her ad in the Yellow Pages, which is hilarious. I don't know how old your audience is, but Yellow Pages, that was a while ago. She was putting ads in the Yellow Pages. And she said, feel better today. And that was literally her ad. And she got tons of clients from that. And so she constantly used like, you know, NLP techniques on me when I was younger to get me to do things, you know, or to, you know, and one really interesting thing that affected me was she would always emphasize, like, even if I wasn't super good at something, she would emphasize how good I was at that one thing.
Oh, wow.
So that's just like a very simple technique. But like I grew up believing that I was really good at certain things, maybe if I wasn't the best, but I've actually sort of grown into that and become good at those things. And so things like that, one funny phrase she said was clean up your room, or let's see, I can't remember right now, but it was something about within the next 5 minutes. She didn't say, hey, clean up your room today. She said, I can't wait to see how quickly you clean up your room within the next 5 minutes.
Wow.
I was like, cool, okay, let's do this. You know, so stuff like that. And so I'm endlessly curious about, you know, NLP, hypnosis, how to influence people, also how it relates to marketing.
What's amazing is just how much of a foundation of creativity it sounds like your mom planted in your life.
Oh, totally. I mean, 100%. Like, but even just, you know, how she implanted it. Like, yes, she implanted it, but just how she did it, the things she would say, you know. One thing that I did a long time ago that affected me a lot in a good way, this is probably 15 years ago, I started getting rid of all the negative words in my mind. And I mean, people have heard about this before.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing it. It's a different thing. Like I took out negative words from my mind and just replace them with positive words. And for 6 months, it seemed so stupid. It felt like this is just the dumbest thing. You know, I'm like forcing myself. You know, I felt like I was going against my natural brain. You know, I was thinking like, oh, I'm an idiot or this is stupid. I failed, you know, but then I'd change those words around and make them positive and be like, it's okay next time. You know, I'll do better next time instead of, oh, I failed. And so after 6 months, I stopped realizing what I was doing. And it's just given me sort of this positive outlook on life in general. I'm way more positive. I'm way happier. And I mean, this is like, you know, 15 years ago that I did this.
Yeah.
And it continues to help me. So, I mean, she definitely implanted like a lot of really good stuff in my mind.
Yeah. That's amazing. And what's so fascinating is like, I can see the connection now that you mention it between your mom, who's like who was a trailblazer in terms of NLP and hypnosis. And then you, where, you know, looking at the span of your career, you were trailblazing in podcasts before a lot of people were in podcasts, and just some of the photography work that you're doing seems to be on that cutting edge. And is that the connection?
I guess, you know, you know, that's the thing about NLP. You don't know what exactly how somebody led you, you know, in a certain direction. So, I mean, I definitely, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a mix of my mom and then my dad being an entrepreneur and being Italian, hard worker. You know, he was always about like own your own business, like do your own thing. And so, you know, that sort of led me to do my own thing basically. And I mean, him, you know, to talk about him for a quick sec, like in Italy years ago when he was, you know, 30, 25, like brand new baby and wife, like he didn't know much about business, but he had this intuition where he was selling fruit in Italy. And he had these little like street vending, what is it, tables or something that people just put up in the middle of the street. And he saw that everybody was just giving a little bit of fruit because they couldn't afford to buy a ton of fruit to then give to the public. Or they were scared that if I buy too much fruit, nobody's going to buy. So what he did was he went all out and he bought like 10 times more fruit than he thought he was actually going to sell. And he would put it at his little table. And so his table looked better than everybody's. And so, and he would actually sell out every single day. And so, you know, that idea of just going for it, being an entrepreneur, you know, it's sort of like this mix of my mom and my dad, like feeding me, you know, really good information and like encouraging me and all that.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a great example almost of the whole nature versus nurture conversation.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Because you have the mix of both worlds right there.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow. I'm so fascinated by the 6 months that it took you to remove the negative words and change them to positive. I mean, was this as you were getting into photography and the work that you do?
So I was born in Italy, came back to the US. I went back for a couple of years to live there. And during that time, you know, I had this mentor guy. He was kind of like, I just looked up to him a lot, and he's like this big leader. And so he told us this thing, you know, and it took 6 months, and I just felt so dumb the whole time because it's like, what am I doing? This is so dumb, you know, just replacing these words. And here's the thing, like a lot of people think that, you know, they hear these motivational speeches from like Tony Robbins, and Tony Robbins is absolutely amazing. You know, he teaches the same thing. And you know, people are like, oh, it's an overnight thing, cool. It's like, no, it takes, you know, a while to restructure your mind. And that's one of the things I learned in NLP too, is you can actually restructure the connections in your mind, you know? So it's also happens with like, you know, people addicted to drugs as well. Like they've done studies that show that your mind can actually be molded and restructured, and the connections can be broken and then re-put together. And so it, you know, it takes time for some of these things, but I mean, it's 100% has been worth it for me to do that, to spend 6 months. And I mean, it, you know, it's a continual process, but I mean, geez, it makes it so much easier to think positive about things. Side note, one other thing that I've been really interested in, you asked, what am I endlessly curious about? And I, you know, sometimes I move topic to topic, but
it's all good.
One thing is temperance. So being temperate, you know, and initially, like, I didn't really even know what that word meant. You know, I thought it meant like, just to, like with alcohol, like stop, you know. You hear that with people that drink alcohol, it's like, be temperate means like don't drink alcohol or whatever, you know, like you're avoiding alcohol. But then I started learning more about like in my personal life how to progress, and temperance is, it's so interesting because it's like one of the biggest ways to gain trust from people, but also mm-hmm. to sort of master yourself is through mm-hmm. tempering emotions, you know, tempering mm-hmm. thoughts. Like a lot of us, sometimes we feel like we're wild. We feel like we are bipolar. You know, we get angry one second, then we get sad the next second. And then mm-hmm. we might get a lot of business success and feel really happy, get these like dopamine surges, whatever. And then we get like really depressed, mm-hmm. like even the next day, you know, and I felt that. I know a lot of people that feel that, but you know, people think like, oh, it's just nature. It's just how it is. But it's like, no, that's not nature. That's you not applying temperance in your life, you know, like tempering your thoughts, like tempering mm-hmm. your emotions. And so we are supposed to be tempering these things. And the end goal is to be, you know, just imagine like this person that doesn't get extremely angry or just doesn't get angry at all. And they don't get depressed, mm-hmm. you know, but they're somewhere in the middle. They're content, they're happy, but they can move through life smoothly, you know, because when you get depressed, you stop doing stuff. When you get too excited, you also stop doing stuff because you just sit on your success, you know? And so the real answer to progress is to temper these things, temper your emotions, you know, practice, mm-hmm. I don't know, meditation. So I've been really fascinated on that lately. And I think that's sort of what this thing did for me, you know, 6 months of like practicing to temper my thoughts and dial things back and replace them with good emotions and whatnot.
Mm. So if you're tempering your emotions and really controlling that side of things, what about vision? Because you strike me as someone who has not only like business vision, but an amazing imagination. So what role does temperance play in like expanding that?
I mean, when you say temperance, well, there's a few thoughts that come like, so tempering your emotions, I don't think that necessarily ties 100% into like imagination, you know, because mm-hmm. having your imagination run wild with creativity is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's like, oh, temper your creativity. Right. It's like by tempering your emotions, your creativity can expand, I think. Ooh. And there's this idea of stoicism. Like mm-hmm. a lot of my big successful friends practice stoicism, which is, you know, being a stoic. It's like it came about in the Roman times, like thousands of years ago or whatever. And it was just this guy, this philosopher who thought he kind of had the same idea of temperance. Mm-hmm. The way to live the best life is to not be extreme, to not be on the extremes, not feel extremely sad or extremely happy, but just be in the middle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back in the day, I mean, they were having just the worst suffering ever under Roman rule. Like people would die left and right and like mm-hmm. starve, suffer, whatever. And so he came up with this idea of stoicism, you know. And, you know, moving to today, I think temperance is a more accurate way of describing it, but definitely temperance increases creativity, you know, because you become a solid thinker. You don't become a wild thinker. You don't jump on every emotion, and you can really rein in those emotions and you can feel what you're really feeling. And then you start moving on the creativity. And for me, you know, obviously like, nobody's perfectly temperate. Like I'm working on it, you know, and like, holy cow, I have kids now. And so it's like wacko, you know, I feel bipolar, like you get angry and then you get happy and then sad 2 seconds later, you know, but I started realizing one of the best ways to get your kids to trust you is through temperance, tempering your own emotions, you know? So people are like, oh, how do I discipline my kids and do this? It's like, well, just be, you know, you gotta be temperate. You gotta temper your own emotions first so your kids can trust you. You know, when you have a parent that's angry 1 second, happy the next second, like it doesn't, you lose trust in that person. So anyway, going off on a tangent, but you know, we were talking about creativity.
Yeah, and it's all good.
I definitely think it, you know, it increases your creativity.
Yeah. So what led you to photography?
So I initially hated photography, which is really funny.
That is funny.
Like I despised photographers. I was a videographer. So I did, I did wedding videos. I also worked on some like big commercials and I was getting into that world. Mm-hmm. And you know, with video, you're shooting many frames per second, you know, average like 24 frames per second or whatever. And so you have to, every shot has to be really good. And so I was sort of had this ego about being a videographer. And I thought, man, photographers have it so easy. They just take one shot and that's it. And it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, mm-hmm. why are they so lame? Like, literally, that's what I thought. And like, they're not talented, you know? And the funny thing is, you know, a few years later, I went into advertising school, and I realized that actually that it's not that I hated photographers, but, you know, I just say that to be funny, but like by despising taking one image and being done out of camera, that sort of led me to do the type of photography that I do today, which is more storytelling driven. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in ad school, I learned about ad photography, which was like incredible. It was where people were taking photos, but then stitching them together with other photos to create this surreal world and situations that could never happen in real life. And so I got so excited about that, that I was like, this is what I have to do. I have control over the story. I can use photography to create that story. And so that's just where my love of photography came in. And then I just dabbled with a lot of different things, but ultimately it was that storytelling that I fell in love with at ad school.
What did it take for you to really fully immerse yourself in that world and to, I guess, shed the videographer label and take on the photographer label?
Well, it was easy. I didn't know how to market my video business, and so I went out of business. And I was like, oh.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, I was like, crap, what do I do now? So I was like, maybe I go to ad school, you know, and figure out something I like. So, you know, went to ad school, learned about that. And I mean, it was pretty easy to shed that. But, you know, it's kind of funny because coming full circle, now I also do video, you know, and it just comes really in handy. So, I mean, in the end, it's all come full circle. It's not like I completely shed it, but it actually helped me in my creativity, you know, helped me with storytelling in general.
Yeah. Because really, whether it's a photograph, a single image, or a sequence of images, it's really just storytelling.
Yeah, 100%.
So as you are learning, as you're immersing yourself in photography, you've got all this amazing background of your mom and your dad and the things that they imparted on you. How did you keep pushing yourself to up your skills and expand your vision and bring this creativity to life?
Well, I mean, love that question, because it was literally just, it's a strong word, devastation. Mm-hmm. It was like desperation. It was, you know, trying to figure out life on your own when nobody's there to like actually teach you. Your parents prepare you. Mm-hmm. But then you go out on your own, you realize, crap, I got to do my own laundry. I got to do this. Then that's the beginning of it. You know, I got to cook. Oh, crap. You know, now I got to make money somehow. Crap, I hate working for other people. So how do I make money on my own? I'll start a video business. Crap, it failed. You know, oh, I should market better. You know, okay. So then you start learning how to market. And it's like, mm-hmm. let's look at other people. Like, how are they marketing? Mm-hmm. And so you ask around, you learn. You know, I remember Ray Dalio said this thing. He's a billionaire, hedge fund manager, something like that. But he talks about his success and how he got to success, and just in general, how people get to success. And it was so interesting because he talks about, you know, everybody says like, oh, failure is part of it. Yeah, we've heard that a million times. But he says, a lot of us, when we start off, we have this vision of how things should be or how they can be or how we want them to be. Mm-hmm. And it's not the reality of things. It's not how, you know, we have ideas like, I want to start this business and I'm going to make this much money and this, that. But a lot of the times it's not the reality of things. So he said that he had these big visions, then he would try them and he would fail miserably and he'd feel so bad. But what he did that changed it was, he's like, okay, I'll learn from my failure. So he learned, he adapted, and he moved on to the next thing, you know. But continually, at the end of it, he said, ultimately, it was because I started understanding the reality of things. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of people have these visions in their head, like, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to, you know, get into real estate. I'm going to do this, that. But, you know, it's like they don't actually know the reality of it. You know, like people to me are like, I'm going to get into photography and go into the movie poster business. I'm like, you don't understand the reality. Like that's probably not going to happen, mm-hmm. you know? And I'll tell you the reasons why, but I'll tell you a better approach and how to actually get what you want. So just that, like realizing how things actually work, getting out of this, like, you know, spiritual realm or like this imagination, you know, getting out of your imagination and having a good balance of wanting to achieve certain goals and having an imagination, but then not overdoing it and still dialing it back, realizing, you know, there's a reality to this world, like how things work, how money works, how marketing works, how people work. And so that definitely 100% helped me to expand. You know, it's like being devastated, like not having money, being hopeless, depressed, whatever. And then getting back up and just not giving up, you know, and just saying, okay, all right, that was a great learning experience. Let's just keep going, moving forward.
Well, and I imagine too, you know, having the way that your brain wired over 6 months of, you know, replacing the messages. So you've got the self-talk side of life taken care of, that you're continually working on. What role does like work ethic play in that though?
It's huge, work ethic, because here's the thing. Like, I realized if you don't do anything, like you're not going to get anywhere. If you don't actually do the thing, the next step, you're never going to move to that next step after that. Like, you won't ever get there because nobody's going to do it for you. And nobody's going to come and just magically give you an opportunity. You know, that's super rare, unless you have like rich parents and they're connected with like other rich people. Like, if you're coming just from the bottom, and you don't have anything, you know, like I grew up in a really small place. Like, I worked construction and like, I just didn't have anything. Like, you have to move up in that way, you know, like actually do things. And even today, that's so hard to understand for most people. And even for myself, like, sometimes I'm like so exhausted. I'm like, man, I wish I could just cut a break. You know, I wish like somebody would just come and give me the opportunity. I wish like, you know, this and that would happen. But in reality, what am I doing to make that happen? So it's all about doing. Everybody says that. I think work ethic is just massive when it comes to actually getting what you want.
I like how you're wording it too. It's not enough to have the imagination, but you need the skills, you need the ability to make them come to life and become a part of reality.
Yeah. And for example, along the way, and here's the thing, everybody wants success so quickly. I mean, I want success so quickly. You want it. Like, everybody. Yeah. You just want it so quick. Like, but there's stepping stones to success. And it's so rare that somebody just gets success right away. Like, it really is rare. But the funny thing is, you hear it all the time in the media because that's all they care about. It's all sensationalized. The reality of it, you know, stepping stones. The first time I was interested in something was when I was like 14 and I was interested in video. And so video, I started doing video. I was like, crap, I need a website. So I started researching websites, how to build a website. I went through a heck of a time learning WordPress. Like, I just remember those days, like, just pain in my mind. You know, I felt like I was 8 years old. Like, I had no idea what was going on, what this meant, what that meant, all these words, technical terms, HTML, all this crap. But you know, I went through it, and it was just hard. It was like going through mud. But then I eventually learned how to do a website, and I learned how to do better websites. I learned how to do better videos. You know, it's always a pain. Like, progress is always a pain. It's never, ever easy. Not once. It's always painful. You know, learning. I tell my daughter, like, she goes to school and she's like, I hate math. Like, you know, she's like, I don't want to go to school. I hate math. It's so hard. I'm like, yeah, that's the point. Like, progress is never easy. Like, math is always hard. Like, it's never easy because you always move on to the next thing. And it's always hard. You know, so I think you just have to accept that it's always going to be hard, but just accept it and keep moving forward. Because here's the thing, now, 10, 15 years later, I know how to market. I know how to build websites, how to like make logos, how to do photos, how to do all these things. And I can provide my services to other people that need them, that don't know how to do those things because I went through the pain. And somebody that is skilled like that can make a lot of money. Whereas if you've been sitting for 10 years just hoping that your opportunity is going to come along, like, and you're not learning, like, what skills do you have? Do you have enough skills to work at like McDonald's or like a restaurant or whatever? Or are you constantly upping those skills? I'm always aware of that. I'm always trying to learn new skills. And I'm glad when something hard comes along because I know that there's a million other people that are going to give up on that hard thing. And that's going to make me more unique, is because I'm learning that next step, learning that next skill.
That's awesome. What a great way to describe just the need to keep pushing yourself and upping your skills. What role did passion projects come into play?
I haven't really made any money off my passion projects, but I guess that's the whole point. It's like, it's your passion. So it's not supposed to be money making, but I mean, it played a huge role because, you know, doing some of these really fun things just expand my imagination. Like, I have one project right now that I'm wanting to do. It's like a James Bond series where I just travel all over the world with my daughter and take, you know, really cool photos of her and my son as like James Bond. Like, it's so silly, you know, and it's not going to make money, but it stimulates my imagination and makes me feel like I'm doing something, that like I'm feeding my creativity, I'm feeding my soul. This actually goes back to NLP, which is funny, called a pattern interrupt. And this is one of the best things ever for life, for getting out of being depressed, for just changing things up. You know, the simple idea, a lot of people might have heard about this, but we all have these patterns that we do daily, shaking hands, like, when we reach the toilet, we want to sit down on the toilet. We don't just stand and look at the toilet, you know, it's like there's a reason we're there. So there's a pattern with everything we're doing. You know, there's a drinking fountain, we know where to put our hand to like start the drinking fountain to get water. So anyway, so when you break those patterns, your mind sort of goes into this panic and it grabs onto the next thing that it hears. It's influenced by that next thing that comes into your mind. And so pattern interrupt can be so powerful in general, because what that means is we're all stuck in our daily patterns of life, and we could be stuck in the same job doing the same thing every day for like 20, 30, 40 years without even realizing that we could be better, without realizing our potential. And so pattern interrupt is the tool to get out of there and to get what you want. Because if you're in a pattern, I almost suggest to do this like frequently. And do something that is wacko. Like, do something that is completely going to interrupt your pattern in every possible way. And then you're going to wake up. People are so asleep. When you interrupt that pattern, you're going to wake up. And so I suggest doing, that's what passion projects have done for me. They've played a huge role in being a pattern interrupt, because I get away from work, I get away from the things I'm doing, and I do something so fun, so different, that it stimulates my mind. Like, every time I've started a new business or a new like super inspiring idea or project, it's been when I've actually moved cities. And I went from Utah, like ad school, when I first got into photography, I went from Utah, kind of boring, like sort of smaller town, to Miami Beach, where, you know, you start seeing like pimps and hoes on the street, like like drugs every, not saying that was a good thing, but, you know, like drugs, right, are like totally opposite of what I was used to. And I mean, it expanded my mind. Like, I literally, my mind literally lit up with colors everywhere, and I could feel it happening. I saw it happening. Ideas were just, you know, pouring out of me. And that's when I started photography. Same thing. I moved back to Utah, more ideas. Moved from Utah to LA, more ideas. LA, you know, went to Italy for a while, more ideas. You know, I moved to Puerto Rico for 5 years, more businesses, more ideas. You know, so this this idea of like, people are asleep. You know, if you want to do things, if you want to have success, the absolute first step is to break your pattern. You know, because people are like, they hear all day long, you know, you just got to go do something, got to go do something. It's like, that's cool. I hear all this motivational stuff all day long, but nobody talks about, you got to interrupt the pattern first. Like, you're stuck in this pattern, and it's hard for your brain to get out of the pattern. It's really difficult unless you snap it out. So, you know, I guess my best sort of piece of advice is, go do something crazy today. Like, not psychotic, illegal, but like, you know, go jump in a cold pool, like go up in the mountains and by yourself, like go do something you've never done before. Like, go jump in, I don't know, like the snow. Like, you see what I'm saying? Something that totally breaks that pattern, and then it's going to open up creativity and get you to move forward.
Yeah, because what I love about that is, oftentimes when we get stuck, we're just like, well, I got to pay the bills, or this client's relying upon me, and we have all these stories. And then, you know, fast forward 40 years, those stories are so entrenched that we don't even need to have those going on anymore, and we stay stuck.
It's like the scariest thing ever is to think that we're going to be doing the same thing for like 40 years. Yeah. And I look now, I'm 36, and I'm like, since high school and now, that's almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what in the world? Like, 20 years has gone by? Like, thankfully, I've just loved doing photography and done creative stuff. But I mean, I could have been stuck at a job. I mean, here's the moment for me that really changed a lot in business was I was working at a construction company cleaning up poop. Like we literally would get calls at 4 a.m. to go clean up floods and just basements would be flooded with just sewage and poop and everything. And medium paying job, I mean, maybe like $1,200 a month, you know, whatever. And we would, you know, to relieve stress, we'd all go play. We'd get together as a, you know, our coworkers. We'd go play Call of Duty, you know, we'd go play video games. Like, and we would have these like binging video game battles. Like, so we'd go clean up crap, then we'd go back to sleep. And then in the morning, we'd come back and just binge play these games. And it was so fun. Like, we'd have these tournaments and it was just like exciting. And it was sort of to numb ourselves from like the work, I guess.
Yeah.
And we were having so much fun. But at some point I realized like, this is kind of pointless. Like I actually want to progress here. Like I don't want to be doing this forever, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I basically, one Saturday, you know, one of my friends, coworkers, like, let's go play. So we went to the office. We were playing for like 3-4 hours. I was like, I got to go. I got to finish my website, like do a few things, you know? He's like, okay, whatever. So I go home, and this was when I was starting my photography business because I was like, I want to get away from this job. So I went home, spent, you know, 8 hours doing my website. I really like, I edited some photos, made my site look really killer, you know, set up some marketing material. I had a plan for the next, you know, few months. I was like, I'm going to do this. And I called back my friend to see what he's doing. This was literally 8 hours later. He's like, hey, I'm still playing Call of Duty. What's up? I was like, what? You're still playing? And in my mind, it instantly clicked. I was in this pattern of, you know, I wasn't realizing like what I was doing. I was wasting so much time. And I saw my friend wasting 8 hours playing the game. And I had spent 8 hours on like my business. And I was so much further ahead. I progressed light years already. I was like, I'm actually doing something. So anyway, since then, I've completely stopped playing games. That was probably like 8 years ago, 10 years ago. Stopped playing video games. Not saying video games are bad or anything, but just, you know, this can be applied to anything, like anything that's a waste of time. And I just start working on my business. And so same thing today. I'm like, you know, what's wasting time? But here's the thing. It goes back to breaking that pattern. It's not even, you know, cause it's freak. I watch TV for hours sometimes in movies and like I waste time. You need downtime. You know, you can't like be psychotic about it, but you know, it comes down to breaking that pattern. People are stuck in this pattern, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You might not even realize anymore where it's leading. Or like what you're going to get out of it with relationships, with business, whatever. So yeah, it just comes back to breaking that pattern.
I like too how you know the difference between something that is just downtime and something that is avoidance in a sense.
I mean, here's the thing. People need to be aware of their own emotions. Like so many people, they're not tapped in to... There's greater things than just our physical body here, you know, like there's like energies that are going. If you're religious, you believe in like this, you know, spirit and you have a spirit and whatnot, but there's greater things. You have a brain that has billions and billions of connections. Like you have to be aware of self. You have to be aware when you are in a certain circumstance, how do you feel? You know, the worst thing to do is to numb yourself out, like with anything. You know, if you're angry, you numb yourself out with alcohol, with video games. You know, you don't face the problems ahead. And I remember one of my friends got into drugs, same age as me, and he went through multiple breakups. And he, you know, and I went through multiple breakups, like really bad ones with girls. And he would always come back to me and say, like, how do you deal with this? I can't figure out how to deal with this. And so I deal with it through drugs. Like I can't deal with the pain. You know, but that's the thing is because he was never aware initially. He was always numbing himself out. So then when it came to this moment of, he was like an infant dealing with this adult pain, he had no clue how to deal with. And so, you know, if you're playing video games, if you're watching too much TV, if you're in a situation that maybe you shouldn't be in, like you have to be self-aware and feel if this is the right thing. You have to feel how this is affecting your mind, you know, your body, your personality, like these whole things. Cause I started feeling like these video games are numbing me out. I'm not doing this just for entertainment, but I'm overindulging, you know, and overindulgence leads to numbness. And so overindulging in anything, you know, too much food, too many video games, too much TV, you know, too much like TikTok, too much Facebook. I mean, seriously, you know, you have to realize like, okay, this, it's too much. Like I can, you know, you just got to be aware of self.
So one of the projects that you worked on was called the Justice League Kids. How was helping kids with cancer transforming not only your work, but your life? I mean, you talked about the things beyond money and status. What happened to you as you worked on this project?
Yeah, I mean, it was so amazing because like this project, it wasn't going to happen because we'd done two or three series previously and it was just a lot of work, a lot of money of our own. And this project was going to cost, you know, $10,000-$15,000, something like that, which I didn't have. It's just, you know, do you have $15,000 just spare for just like some fun project, you know?
Nope. And,
but, you know, it's like, unless you're super rich, you're like throwing money here and there. But so I was like, man, how am I going to do this? You know, so we had the idea. It was genius. You know, we're like, we're going to help kids that are sick. It's going to spread awareness around the world. But we're like, I just can't do it. You know, I told my wife at one point, I was like, it's too much work. Like, I can't physically do this. I can't, you know, it's just too much money. It's too much time, you know, whatever. So we quit it. And then a month later, something happened where somebody, and this is more of a long story, I won't tell the full thing, but somebody that I told the idea to went behind my back and was going to do the same idea, the exact idea. They were going to reach out to my exact media contacts, you know, and do a way worse job. They weren't even photographers. Like they're, you know, they were going to do a terrible job with it. Like, and so that like put the fire under my butt. It's like, man, I got to do this project. So anyway, move forward. We finished the whole project in a month, you know, out of pocket. We found a lady that did it at cost, or she made the costumes at cost, and she just did an awesome job. Julie Whiteley is her name. And basically, you know, after doing this project, like, we're like, let's not get our hopes up. It's, you know, we've had two huge projects already, hit like over 100 million views. Let's not get our hopes up that this is going to do anything. And so we released it. And I mean, it exploded. Like, you know, got 250 million views. I was flying all over the world doing interviews, like in live in Italy. But, you know, aside from that, like the notoriety, it was so amazing because the kids themselves, like the parents were just lit up. The kids were lit up from this. You know, the kids were like, there was a couple of kids that told their parents, like, this was the best day of my life, you know, because they were acting like superheroes. They were on the photo shoot. Then we surprised them with these awesome photos. Like all the kids now are free of cancer, you know, they're in remission, and not all of them had cancer. You know, we had a double amputee. We had others that had severe ADHD, but I mean, it literally changed their lives. Like it changed their families' lives. Like, they've been so grateful reaching out to us with comments. You know, I don't even attribute that to like me and to what I did. I just sit back and I'm like, just the fact that I did something was absolutely amazing. You know, just the fact that like I actually got off my butt and did it, you know, then all the credit can go to whoever else, just, you know, God or whoever made this happen. It can just go there. You know, because they've opened up, like this famous doctor from Italy called and he's like, hey, we want to open up a type of research. We want to open up a new type of research into the emotional effects that these projects have on cancer patients. Wow. And, you know, and I mean, he's like Dr. Oz in Italy and has tons of influence. And so they're like opening up this new type of research around these projects. I'm just like mind blown. Like, and literally, I don't feel like I even did anything with that. I feel like it was meant to be. I moved forward. You know, it's like that story in the Bible where Christ like replicates the fish and the bread, you know, like it had to start with one piece of bread and one fish and then it just expands, you know? So like I brought the bread, I brought the fish and it just happened. And so it's like, I can't really take credit for it, but you know, same thing happened with my other projects, like this, you know, Avengers of Bullying that we did. You know, the kids just totally transformed from being bullied to being the most confident kids in the school. And like, I mean, it's just been so cool because just the fact of like, I just did something. Like I just did it. Even, you know, I did other projects that failed, but it was like, I just kept going and I just did it, you know? And so I think just doing is sort of that you bring something to the table and then it can replicate after.
Well, in a way too, you're making an offering. you know, to connect it to the story of the fish and the bread, you know, you're bringing an offering that is then blessed and multiplied.
Yeah, 100%. And I just think, you know, I heard that actually yesterday, which was so good to hear, because, you know, we all have these big goals and we're like, how do we reach these big goals? And I think there's a greater power. I mean, I obviously am religious, you know, if people aren't religious, suck it up. Because I think that, you know, there is a greater power. But it's like this idea of the fish and the bread. It has to start somewhere. If you never bring the offering, if you never bring the bread to the table, how can it ever replicate? Like, if you're always like, oh, it'd be nice to bring bread, or maybe I should bring fish, or maybe I should bring that, and you never actually do it, like, how is it ever going to replicate, you know? And so I think that's what is on us, is bringing, like you said, that initial offering, like that thing that we do, that project. You know, it doesn't have to be serviceful, you know, and charitable all the time, but if it is, that's even better. But, you know, even in business, it's like we can only do so much, and and then we pray that something can replicate from that, from our efforts.
What a beautiful way to look at the world. Thank you for the work that you do, the offerings that you bring to transform lives. It's powerful to hear the stories that you've shared, and just thank you for everything that you do for yourself, your family, and the world.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. It was great to talk with you.
Absolutely. One last question for you. What book, podcast, or resource is blowing your mind right now?
There's two books that blow my mind. One is The 48 Laws of Power by, I think it's Robert Greene. I think that's his name. Mm-hmm. Totally blown my mind because it shares how the world works. And it's super interesting. Have you read it by chance? Do you know what book I'm talking about?
I know the book. I haven't read it though.
So it talks about, I'm not just so mind blown. Like, it talks about how to gain power, like 48 laws of power, like how to gain power. But it almost talks about it in these like evil, sleazy ways, like, <Yeah. laughs> like a lot of the book, you know, a lot of the ways to get power are good, but you know, it's meant to educate on how people gain power. And it's almost like bringing back that curtain, pulling back the curtain. You start realizing like how sleazy a lot of people are and how they actually get to power, you know? And I mean, it's such an interesting book because you can apply certain things that are good principles, and other things it's like what to watch out for. So that's a killer book. I've read that like 3-4 times. I just love it. And then the other book is The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing.
Okay.
And that's completely transformed my life. The name says it all, but yeah, go check those out. This is a killer.
That's awesome. Well, Josh, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. It's been an honor to hear your stories, and just thank you for everything that you do.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Just in case you needed another reminder, that idea you have in your mind right now, it's not going to become a reality if you don't do anything with it. So I hope you find the encouragement you need to get on it. If you need permission, consider this your permission slip signed by me. You have my permission to start. You have my permission to bring it to life. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It might fail. It might succeed. But like Josh said, you don't really know until you put it out there. Let this be your creative offering to God, the universe, life, community, others, however you want to word it, describe it, believe it, and own it. Bring this to life. The world needs your personal and creative contribution to the planet, to this world. Get on it. You can do it. Bring it to life. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.